time now for our weekly chat with the experts at ETF.com, the world's leading independent authority on ETFs.
I ran the numbers again for the cheapest ESG ETF portfolio. These are good numbers. They're not marijuana good, but they're pretty good. If you believe that it's going to save you in the apocalypse, you might want to consider something else.
All right, Laura, so let's flash back to 2015. As we were saying, I don't think anyone could talk ETFs without this topic of currency hedging coming up. It's sort of like, I don't know, smart beta or ESG ETFs today. And I found a stat from Bloomberg that assets in currency hedged ETFs peaked at $63 billion in late 2015. And now ETF.com shows these only have about $38 billion. And, you know, I'm not sure if these are classified exactly the same way between Bloomberg and ETF.com, but I think any way you slice it, this space has hemorrhaged assets, which I think is somewhat odd to see when you look at the overall growth of ETFs. So from your perspective, what's happened here? Because if you look at the performance of currency hedged ETFs, it's actually been pretty good overall.
Yeah, exactly. Over the mid and longer term, currency hedged ETFs have done pretty well and outperformed, the non-hedged versions. And so the reason that you're seeing these funds bleeding assets is really the U.S. dollar, right? So when you currency hedge, you are trying to neutralize the moves of foreign currency on your portfolio, on your investments. So you're only exposed to that home currency. And so for U.S. investors, that means when the dollar is rising, you're going to get a bigger bang for your buck if you currency hedge. Between 2014 and 2016, the dollar was rising at a good clip. And so hedged versions of ETFs well outperformed the non-hedged versions. And, you know, you saw tons of performance chasing. We saw this huge influx of money going into these funds, billions and billions of dollars. Like you said, $63 billion at the peak. Then in 2016, late 2016, 2017, the U.S. dollar begins its slide, right, against other currencies. And so when the dollar is falling relative to other currencies, hedging actually makes for worse returns. Basically, you're doubling down on a bad debt or on a bad bet, right? So when there's bad performance, people jumped ship. They jumped ship from these hedged funds to the non-hedged versions. Pulled some numbers in 2017, for example, if you look at the WisdomTree Japan Hedged Equity ETF, that's DXJ, in 2017, investors pulled about $22 million from that fund versus the previous year where they had plowed in billions and billions, and they put in a net $622 million into the unhedged version of that fund, EWJ, the iShares MSCI Japan ETF. So that's really what's going on. The U.S. dollar is back on the rise again, so you should start to see these currency hedged investments outperform the non-currency hedged ones, and that's what we're in fact seeing. Whether they're going to attract the same level of assets as they did before, that's anybody's guess.
Laura, just taking a step back here, for investors who are new to this space, do you mind briefly explaining how these currency hedged ETFs work? And maybe you can use DXJ as an example.
Oh, sure. So it's fairly simple in practice. The basic idea of a currency hedged ETF is that you have this portfolio of international equities. In DXJ's case, it's Japanese equities. And then there's also a short position in currency futures or forward contracts in that foreign currency. In DXJ's case, it's the Japanese yen. So if the currency ends up falling relative to the dollar, let's say 1%, then the currency hedge position is going to gain 1%. Likewise, if the currency gains 1%, then that hedge is going to lose 1%. And either way, the impact of the currency move is neutralized in the portfolio, leaving only quote unquote, the pure exposure to the underlying stock returns. So I mentioned DXJ, which, you know, uses a hedge in the Japanese yen. Another really popular currency hedged ETF is hedged. That's ticker HEDJ. That holds a currency hedge to the euro. So you can hold, you know, an ETF can hold one currency hedge. It can hold multiple currency hedges at a time. the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and I just to restate what you were saying, I think if you're a U.S.-based investor and you own foreign stocks and that local currency depreciates versus the U.S. dollar, that's a drag on your returns. So with DXJ, if you own Japanese stocks and they rise, let's say, 5%, but the yen falls 5%, your returns are zero. Now, you know, the debate on these, at least for longer-term investors, is whether currency hedging should actually be the default in a portfolio. And on that note, I want to play a quick clip here. We had WisdomTree's Jeremy Schwartz on previously. I would say there aren't five people walking the face of the earth who know more about this topic than Jeremy does. Listen to how he describes this decision.
If you're starting from a blank sheet of paper and you say, all right, I have one strategy that just focuses on the stocks, we call it A. And I have another strategy that just focuses on A plus B, or two sources of risk, which is the stocks plus the currency, which one really is forced to make two bets? It's pretty clear if you're starting from a blank sheet of paper that A plus B has two bets, right? That the stocks plus the currency is really where you're betting on a currency. When you're doing hedge, you're just focusing on the stocks alone. So you don't get helped when the currency goes up, and you don't get hurt when the currency goes down. And so I think when you think of it from, you know, a complete blank slate, which one really is making a bet on the currencies, you'll see the hedge one is no bet. The unhedged that people have traditionally been using is the one that's really making two bets.
So the point Jeremy is making is if you buy, let's say, European stocks and you don't hedge the currency, you're making two bets, right? One on the local stocks and then another on the local currency. But if you hedge, you're just betting on the local stocks. Laura, do you agree with that view? Because again, there's some debate here.
There is so much debate. the counterpoint, of course, is that currency hedging isn't really useful over the long term. You know, these currency fluctuations are very volatile, but they also tend to revert to the mean, and so you're not going to see a long term benefit from that. That's the counterpoint. But I just tend to come back to the data, right? And what is the data showing? What is the data telling us? And so, recently, I did a story on looking at developed Europe ex-UK ETFs, and I found, quite to my surprise, that basically what I said, currency hedged ETFs have significantly higher returns over a three-year period than non-hedged funds. We're talking 3 to 4 points on average, sometimes even higher, depending on which fund you look at and the strategy in question and so forth. So, yeah, I think there is something to what Jeremy is saying, that currency can and often does make a real impact on international returns that investors often kind of overlook. It can also impact volatility and ETF volatility. So, you know, like I said, currency fluctuations can be volatile. So by hedging them out, you're going to end up with a smoother, more stable ride on the return front. The only thing I will add to this, though, is that hedging can be kind of expensive. You know, some of these ETFs, the currency hedged ETFs, they on average cost about 45 bips, which is substantially more than some of these core unhedged international ETF costs. So just make sure that if you do kind of investigate a currency hedged option, you're not kind of undoing all of the good that you would be getting by doing currency hedging by paying loss in fees. That's all.
Laura, this is Jason. You hit on something that I was just going to ask you about, and that is the cost of hedging. I think it's important to remember that when these funds take a position in the currency, there's someone on the other side of that trade, and those people need to be compensated for their risk. So that's what you're getting to. Hedging isn't free.
Yep, exactly. Hedging is not free.
But Laura, for investors who are on the fence on this, there is actually another option, which is you can just split the difference, right? You can either own, let's say, half of your allocation in hedged and half in unhedged ETFs. Or as it turns out, there are actually ETFs that will do this for you. For example, there's the Index IQ 50% Hedged FTSE International ETF, ticker HFXI. Do you think an ETF like this might have better longer-term potential in terms of investor interest just because you don't have to make that currency decision?
HFXI is kind of an interesting case. I think it depends on what benchmark you're comparing it to, right? Like you're hedging the hedge. If you look at it compared to an unhedged fund, with the U.S. dollar strengthening and everything, it it has done better than some of the unhedged funds over the past 3 years. It has underperformed currency hedged versions, though, right? So, you know, I think since you're hedging the hedge, you're never going to be able to ride that train fully, whether the train is the dollar strengthening or the dollar falling. You're always going to be lagging something, and that can be a bit challenging for investors psychologically, to constantly be looking at where the grass is greener. The other thing, though, about you know, hedging 50% is that it can lead to a lower volatility overall than, you know, the currency hedge version or the non-currency hedge version. You're smoothing out your risk with that 50% hedge. And there are plenty of investors for whom that makes a lot of sense, and that is, alone is going to help them stick to their investment portfolio and their investment choices. So, you know, it's really kind of up to the investor, the individual investor, and what their risk tolerance is.
Yeah, and by the way, we've been talking stocks today. We should mention there are also currency-hedged bond ETFs. As a matter of fact, the largest currency-hedged ETF out there is the Vanguard Total International Bond ETF, ticker BNDX. I don't think some investors realize that's hedged. Laura, we have just a couple of minutes left. What about actual currency ETFs? Do you think those could be a viable option for investors who are concerned about currency moves?
Well, so currency ETFs, they're interesting. They just hold currency futures, which is very different than a portfolio of stocks that is currency hedged. So as far as I understand it, historically, these ETFs have been used to implement a currency future. So, you know, one of the great things about ETFs is that you can short them. So you could short a euro currency ETF and hold a euro stocks ETF and then effectively get that currency hedge for cheaper than you could, you know, just buying a currency futures or, you know, and trying to do it yourself. You know, as more products have come onto the market, that has become less feasible an option to do on your own. And especially since these currency ETFs tend to have high fees, like we were saying before, you know, you tend to get killed in the fees with currency ETFs. And so the strategy doesn't really make as much sense as maybe it used to now that international ETFs hedged and not hedged have come down in price. And I think investors have started to sort of realize that. They pulled a lot of money out of currency ETFs. There's only $1.5 billion invested in the space, over 20 ETFs. And most of that is in dollar ETFs, which are, you know, tracking the moves in the U.S. dollar. It's not even foreign currency related. So you'll never hear me badmouth an ETF, but I would certainly, you know, use your best judgment with these ETFs,
always,
whether they make sense for you.
Always good advice. Laura, I'm going to leave you with some quick ETF trivia with Mexico in the news with the trade wars. Did you know there is actually a currency hedge Mexico ETF? So iShares has the currency hedge MSCI Mexico ETF, ticker HEWW. I did not know that. Now, it hardly has any assets. And I believe there was actually an Xtrackers product, but that closed up shop. But perhaps this will gain some interest with Mexico now in the trade war crosshairs. Laura, always appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.